So good morning. Do you guys have a new clock? Do I get perceptive points? Just as a note from the speaker, that clock's hard to read, so if you get a big red digital one that will blink at 12:10, that'd be great. A trapdoor. I've seen too many Bugs Bunny commercials. But let me tell you, and I'm proud to be here. Not sure I've had the opportunity to speak at the same time as my father. I think this might be the first time, so I'm super proud about that. I'm also maybe even more proud that my father knows what Twitter is. Super excited about that. Do you have a Twitter account? Almost made it. But I am a little bit nervous because on the way here, I was driving down 501 and there was this white car, a Ford, going so slow in the right lane that, man, I had to confess my sins about him. I was hoping to, I wanted to run him off the road, but then I remembered that the Lord will judge on my behalf. I also want to say what an honor it is. I don't know if you guys know, this is a tradition that when it's your last Sunday at a meeting, you get to pick your favorite speaker to come in and preach. So what an honor it was that the bots chose me as their favorite speaker for their last message. So thank you. It is an honor to be here, and I thank you for that. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. While you're turning, let me tell you that I'm pretty sure that COVID is my fault. And about halfway through the message, we'll discuss that. But while you're turning, let me just tell you, this is the worst part of having allergies during this pandemic. Because I'm allergic to perfume. So all of a sudden your allergies start going. And then what is everybody thinking as I'm sitting there coughing? But trust me, it's just allergies. Joshua chapter 1. So hopefully we're all there. We'll read that in just a minute. But a few months ago, actually probably late Christmas, early January, I got this email at work and I got clickbaited. It had a great title and I jumped on it on board immediately because it said something like this: in just 5 minutes a day, this one activity can improve your sleep, increase your attention span, lower your stress, decrease your anxiety, slow the onset of memory loss, lower blood pressure, decrease weight, and help with the control of pain. Now, how many of you would be willing to commit 5 minutes a day if you could do all of that? At least that's what I was thinking when I said, let's click. So real quick in your mind, I'm not going to ask you to call it out, but what do you think this one activity is? Think about it for a minute. What thing could you do 5 minutes a day and accomplish all of that? Well, I was surprised. I thought it would be stretching. But it was meditation. So I quickly dismissed it because my mind went right to what we might all think of meditation. Eastern medicine, yoga type chanting. So I quickly erased it because I'm not a meditator. But then a few weeks later, I came across this passage in Joshua that started to change my mind. So this morning, I want to spend some time looking into this word meditate and what it means to meditate. Biblically, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am going to give them, to the son of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written, according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you will go. So I'm going to challenge you, take just a minute and peruse through that again and look for some key words that you see repeated, mainly in 6, 7, and 9. Take a minute and just read through that. Any key words jumping out at us? What do we see repeated a couple of times? Be strong and courageous. So we're going to talk a little bit about why the Lord is asking Joshua to be strong and courageous and what we need to do to enable ourselves to be strong and courageous like Joshua. So let's take a couple of minutes and dive into these verses for a few minutes, and then we're going to jump into the book of Psalms. Verse 1. Here the Lord is telling us or giving us kind of the backstory. Moses has passed away. He's died. And now Joshua is going to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And keep in mind that most scholars believe right now the nation of Israel is approximately 2 million people. In the middle of verse B, the Lord tells him what he wants to do. And he tells him, hey, I'm going to ask you to cross the Jordan and take the land. But at the end of verse 2 through 6, the Lord encourages Joshua by reminding Joshua of the promises that he's already made to the nation of Israel, including Joshua and Moses. And instead of reading, I'm just going to call out some things of encouragement that you read through these verses. The Lord says, I am giving to you. I have already given you as I promised. It shall be your territory. No man shall stand before you. I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And then in verse 6, in the middle through in verse 7, the Lord tells Joshua what it's going to take to be successful. Last year I did a study on this word, the word leadership, and I read through the word looking for different examples of leadership, and this is one of the passages that I spoke on when we look at leadership. Here you see Joshua learning from the Lord what leadership looks like. The Lord tells him what he would like him to do, and then gives them the keys to success. To me, this is exactly what I hope for in my boss at work. I want him to give me clear instructions on what he expects from me, but also help support me or give me the keys to my success. Matter of fact, the Lord goes even further and says, hey, let me just encourage you. I've already told you you're going to be successful. I've paved the way. You're going to be successful. I just need you to be strong and courageous. How strong and courageous? He repeats it 3 times in 4 verses. But what's it mean to be strong and courageous? So let's go to verse 7. Verse 7 said, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law, or Torah. So most scholars believe here we're just talking about the law in general, instruction from the Lord, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. So to help understand what this looks like, let's try something different. Maybe you've done this before in the past. I would encourage you, if you try it, be super careful because it doesn't work in every instance, but I think it works here. Let's read verse 7 backwards. So we're not going to do it word for word, but we're going to do it in sections. So saying it backwards, it looks something like this. So that you may have success wherever you go. Remember, the Lord is asking Joshua to take over the nation of Israel. So this is the success that we're talking about. In order to be successful, do not turn from all the law. Do not turn from it from the right or to the left. Be careful to do according to all the law. Be strong and courageous. So what is the Lord telling Joshua? Be strong and courageous. In what? Doing the instruction of the Lord. Matter of fact, I'm sure some of you already jumped to your mind, when is Joshua going to need to show some strength and courage? In just a few minutes, in a few chapters, the Lord is going to ask him to do something really stupid. He's going to ask him to take maybe 200, 300,000 men and march around the city all day. Do it one time, come back 6 days, do it six times, one a day. And then what's he do on the seventh day? Seven times, right? This seems obnoxious to me. This seems ridiculous. Here's where the Lord knows that Joshua is going to need some strength and courage to obey the words of the Lord. Let's take another look at verse 8. Let's see if it fits again. Verse 8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Seems very similar to verse 7, so let's see if it fits verse 7. Let's do verse 8 backwards. To make your way prosperous and have success, be careful to do according to all that is written in the book of the law. But you shall meditate on it day and night, and it shall not depart from your mouth. To me, the path to success for Joshua was clearly laid out by the Lord. You want to take over the promised land, you need to follow my instruction. And the only way to know the instruction is to spend time reading and meditating on that instruction. I think that's why the Lord reminds him in the verse 1 and 2 of what he's already done for the nation of Israel through the promises. Keep those instructions in your mind. I've already made these promises. They're going to be fulfilled. And then he leaves him with a strong encouragement in verse 9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God," the Lord is your God, excuse me. So I feel like this idea of meditation, as I start to meditate on that word, meditate, it is hugely successful in the plan for Joshua. Go ahead and turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. So while you're turning, and I started thinking about how essential it is to maybe my walk to spend time meditating on the instructions of the Lord, it dawned on me about this email that I had gotten back in December. So maybe you remember in the past, about 6 years ago, I stopped doing New Year's resolutions because I would always fail. My goal wasn't necessarily in the early 2000s to be successful in my New Year's resolution. It was just to be better than I was last year. But about 5 years ago, I read this book called My One Word by Mike Ashcraft. And he strongly encouraged us to pick, instead of a New Year's resolution, a word. Maybe it was a character trait. Maybe it's a spirit, fruit of the spirit. Maybe it was a character flaw. Just something that you think maybe could help your life be more Christ-like. And instead of focusing on specific goals, study one word throughout the year and just look for it and meditate on it and look for ways to improve that. So from the past several words that I've chosen have been things like surrender, purpose, leadership. I'm looking at my wife like she's going to help me. I knew I should have written them down. And edification. So 2020, I picked the word meditate. So today we're going to go a little bit deeper into this word and kind of share some things that I've learned from it. And Joshua 1 was one of the passages that kind of got me in on this study. This is actually why I think COVID might be my fault. Because in January, as I started praying about this word and asking the Lord to open to me what he had for me on the word meditate, I also asked him to find me some time to spend in meditation. Just fair warning, be careful what you ask for. I am very social in nature. I'm the kind of guy that would probably stick around work for an extra 30 minutes, even though I'm not actually working, just to talk to my friends. And now that that's gone, I have all of this time available to spend meditating. Interesting enough, I've found other things to fill that time other than the word, but we'll talk about that in a few minutes. So this word meditate here in Joshua chapter 1 is the word haggah. It means to speak with oneself in a murmuring and low voice, a period of reflection or thought. This word meditate is used three different ways in the Old Testament, but today we're just going to focus on the word Haggah that we see in Joshua chapter 1, but we also see it in Psalm chapter 1. Meditation is mentioned 15 times just in the book of Psalms. And when I did a Google search on meditation, it showed 534 million hits. So I spent some time researching and looking to see what the world defined meditation so that I had something to compare it to when I read the word. So after reading websites like the Mayo Clinic, Harvard, the Journal of American Medicine Association, and some others, I kind of tried to create them all together and cram them into one definition, and here's what I came up with. A way to train your brain to think differently. A way to train your brain to think differently. Focusing on a particular object or thought, much like we did this morning at the Lord's Supper, and to train attention and awareness. And we're not going to read it this morning, but the first thing, when I read that, the first thing that popped in my head was Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Create in me. I said that wrong. Let's read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewal of your mind. So this process, to me, is this is going to be the sanctification process for us as Christians. As we place our faith in Christ, it's going to be a continuing process for us to do this, to shape my mind, to practice, stop thinking about the things of the world, and really be focusing on the things of the Lord. To really stop being self-centered and maybe more God-centered. To stop being self-confident and being more God-confident. And I think this is illustrated in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaves does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. So in Psalm 1, David is contrasting two mindsets, the mind of the righteous, or the way of the righteous, and the mind of the wicked, or the way of the wicked. And how do we stay out of the way of the wicked? How do we stay out of their paths? How do we stay or not in their seats? By delighting and meditating on the law of the Lord. That word, law, or meditate there, is that same word that we saw in Joshua chapter 1. So how do we delight in the law of the Lord? We saw this as a hint in Joshua chapter 1, but David tells us here we have to know it and understand it and keep it in our mouths. And what's the result according to Psalm chapter 1? He will then be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaves does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. So in verse 3, we see some of these benefits, and I think some of these benefits match exactly what this email came to me in December. What are some of these benefits of meditating on the law of the Lord? Well, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Verse 3 in Psalm 1 tells us that whatever he does will prosper. That same word for prosper is the same word in Joshua chapter 1 when the Lord tells him he will be prosperous. And in this case, it just means we're going to be successful in fulfilling what the Lord has asked us to do. What's the key to success? Being strong and courageous in obedience to the word or the instruction of the Lord. Jeremiah 17, 7, 8 is going to sound awful familiar to what we've just read in Psalm 1. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The NASB says, will not be anxious. And the King James says, shall not be careful. In other words, it's not worried. It can be carefree. It has no worries in the year of drought. So what are these benefits? And they match perfectly, I think, with this email that I've got several weeks ago at work. Let's go back to some of the things that this email said. Lower stress. Think that matches? Don't be anxious. Decrease anxiety. Sounds very similar, doesn't it? Lower blood pressure and maybe even help control pain. If I'm the tree and I'm firmly planted by fresh flowing water, I have less to worry about during a time of drought. My leaves are always green. I have less stress and anxiety from a tree perspective, and I think it fits us as well. In contrast, look at verse 9, Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? What a perfect picture this is to me of how my flesh constantly tries to fill my mind with things that fills my heart with stress, anxiety, pain, high blood pressure. But if I can spend time in the Word and meditate on it and delight in it, I'm going to be like this tree with less stress, less anxiety, and less things to worry about because I know I've got a fresh source of life. I think this is what God is telling Joshua in chapter 1, that if Joshua will spend time in the Word and understanding and meditating on the Word, he's going to be like that tree and have these deep roots so that when the Lord says, hey, I need you to convince 500,000 men to get circumcised right before we go into battle, that you're going to have the courage to do that. And when you're going to ask them to go into battle with armies that are bigger than yours and maybe more famous as far as battles, you're going to have the strength and courage to do so. A few weeks ago, we had a message. Matter of fact, it was the first inaugural Wilmington Bible Chapel virtual Zoom message. So Tom Messer gave a really great illustration that I'd like to build on. And he was talking about the fruits of the Spirit. So he said, when you are carrying your cup of life around and you get nudged by life, whatever is in the cup is what spills out. So he was talking about being filled with love, peace, joy. I should have written these down too. And if that is what my life is characterized, and I get bumped or I have stress or I have anxiety, those are the types of things that are going to spill out. But if I'm full of hatred, that's what's going to spill out when I'm bumped. So I want to give an illustration this morning. I think we've got some time. Does that say 12 o'clock? And we're done at 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
So we got plenty of time. Promise this illustration won't take more than 45 minutes. But I have an illustration that I really think demonstrates in my mind what meditation looks like. Because I know that I tend to, I don't really want to watch the news, but I get caught up in it. Because I think it festers my sin nature, if you will. And much like my father spoke about this morning, man, it's so easy for me to jump right into judging the guy that went flying by me or the guy that's going too slow in the lane. And I need to stop and remember the Lord's instruction, fill my mind on that and meditate on that. Otherwise, I'm just going to get festered by the guy going too slow in traffic. So let's do an illustration. It might take me a minute to set it up. This is just a normal child. So that you don't think that I'm super creative, I totally stole this off the internet.
Oh.
But I did change some of the application, but if you Google ping pong ball, certain, you would probably come up. I've actually sorry for calling out, that's the only reason why I'm investing. So these ping pong balls represent the things that get in the way of your relationship with the Lord. These are the things that cause you stress, anxiety, pain, maybe fear, that aren't from the Lord. As a matter of fact, let's help fill our jar with some things that we don't want in there. So what are some things, it doesn't need to be personal, you don't need to tell me what you struggle with, you can just use general terms. What are some things in life to get in the way of the relationship with the Lord?
Procrastination.
Procrastination, putting things off.
Pride.
Envy.
Selfishness.
Do you get nervous when they share the gospel with you? Or what they're going to hear about them?
Lazy.
I can hear that. Yeah, we lazy all
fear.
Fear.
Busyness.
Sorry?
Busyness.
All right, busyness. There's still need life with other things other than.
Anger?
Okay, I'm aware of that. I feel like that's an appropriate word for these days. So for me, this is what, in my mind, how meditation works. I've got all this stuff that's filling my mind when I should be focusing on the things of the Lord. So in this case, the water is going to represent filling my mind with things of the Lord, meditating on His law day and night. So I want to make sure we're clear. I'm not talking about being more filled with the Spirit. As the illustration you'll see on YouTube indicates a little bit. But this is just me trying to fill my mind more and more with things of the Lord. Before we go any further, I need a couple of volunteers to help me clean up when we're done.
Your dad will.
All right, there's one. I heard the box do everything. So in my mind in 2020, this is really what I'm trying to focus on this year, is spending time in the Word and trying to fill my thoughts, my quiet time, my quiet spaces more and more on things of the Lord and things that I know that He has planned for us. One way we do that is we just read His Word and spend time in prayer. So what's happened to these things that are in my life that have preoccupied my mind? The more I fill it with the things of the Lord, the less room there is for hate and anger, laziness, busyness. And as we start to fill it up more and more, it tends to try to push it out. I think a really great example that I hadn't planned on, I think this side of glory, there's always going to be some ping pong balls that try to interrupt our relationship with the Lord. But the more I fill my mind with Him and His thoughts, the more I understand what His instructions are, and the more it enables me to be like Joshua and be strong and courageous when I know I should be doing what He says. And then I'm like that tree in Psalm 1, and I can have those deep roots. I don't have to worry about COVID. I don't have to worry about pandemics. Why? Because my roots are planted by living waters, and I have nothing to fear. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank You again for an opportunity to open Your Word this morning. We pray that that was from You, and that You will show us more ways to get closer to You, to empty our mind of things, anything that will detract from You and Your glory. We pray for extra special time this coming weeks of meditation on Your Word. Help us to know what Your instructions are so that when we're asked, we can be strong and courageous. So in Your Son's name, we give thanks. Amen.